Have you ever been given a gift that your first thought was, what am I going to do with this? I think if you pulled out from your memory banks, you could probably come up with at least one thing. And I had this actually happen to me on Father's Day. You think, well, that's kind of odd. But yes, it did happen. I was given a gift of a cordless string trimmer and blower kit. Now you're thinking, well, that sounds really nice. And it actually, we'll get to that. But the Scotsman in me, we already had a desk trimmer with lots of accessories. So my thought was, why do I need another one? And, you know, you never can decline a new tool. All right? If you're a guy, you can never decline a new tool. But I was really puzzled with the gift. But then I tried it. And you know what? The battery-operated version is really nice. It's the cartridge for the spools is about the size of a half dollar, changes in about 30 seconds. It's really quiet, so I don't even have to wear earplugs, which is a really nice blessing. And the handle adjusts really nicely, and it's really lightweight. So if you've had a gas trimmer, you got to wear a strap, and you hook it on, and it's... You got to be careful because it can burn your elbow if you're not too careful. And it really converts quickly to an edger. Now you think, well, how's the sermon going to relate to this? So the job of trimming, instead of being a chore, is really quite fun. It's efficient. It's quick. I can get it done in about 15 or 20 minutes. And I really like doing it now. Before it was just a pain because I do it about every 3 weeks. Because it was just a fuss to try to pull out the trimmer. And so this new tool has become really valuable. And instead of wondering why it was given to me, now I really appreciate it. And so I'm very thankful to my family for contributing and making that a part of my garage collection. But there's a similar gift that God has given mankind. And you know, right now, they don't really understand its value. And they absolutely don't appreciate it. But for those who use it, it's extremely valuable. What is the gift? It's the Sabbath. The Sabbath. The seventh day, or the Sabbath day, is a command from God. And our keeping of this seventh day sets us apart from nearly all of Christianity. So I want to answer a question today, and that is, what makes the Sabbath special? What makes the Sabbath special? The title of the message is The Gift of the Sabbath. The Gift of the Sabbath. Point number one, the Sabbath was established by God. The Sabbath was established by God. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Verse 2, the Sabbath was established by God. Very basic statement here that we probably might even have memorized. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had done. He rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had done. The last day of the week. Now, if you search on Google, and you can do it, maybe on your phones as I'm talking. If you search on the phrase, what day is the Sabbath, you're going to get an answer that says Saturday. And if you look at Britannica, you're also going to get Saturday. If you look at one of those archaic books called Webster's Dictionary, which isn't used too much anymore because Google's so available, it says the seventh day of the week observed from Friday evening to Saturday evening as a day of rest and worship by Jews and some Christians. Now that's man's definition, right? Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20, and we'll see God's definition. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. We know this section of scripture very well. It's the Ten Commandments. And God tells us here, Exodus 20 and verse 8, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. So there's a principle behind that too. We actually have to work, right? We don't get paid for sitting home and doing nothing. God wants us to work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that's in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God defines the seventh day. Now we know the pattern from creation, right? Evening and morning, and it continues through each day, right? And we have those, can lay them out. It's a really interesting graphic. If you want to do that, you can put the what happened on each day of creation, and then you can label each day, and you can shade it, you know, those kind of things. What's man done? Well, he shifted that time frame slightly, right? Because the days go midnight to midnight. Just a little bit of a shift, but it's enough to cause confusion versus how God counts time. But there really should be no confusion. Because we think about it, this every seventh day since creation has always been the Sabbath. Every seventh day, or the Sabbath of the Lord. And in fact, if you look at the multiple languages all across the globe, Sabbath is often defined as Saturday, or there's the word is Sabbath or something equivalent. So mankind knows when is the seventh day. Should be no confusion. Lone language links Sabbath with Sunday, or the first day of the week. In fact, it was not until AD 321 when Constantine declared Sunday as a day of rest. Why was that? Well, they didn't like the association with anything that was considered Jewish. Why is that? Well, we can bring in Romans. The carnal mind is enmity against God. So anything that is linking it to God, mankind doesn't like. So every seventh day is the Sabbath. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse 19. Pick up a little nugget here that can remind us when Sabbath begins. Nehemiah 13 and verse 19. We see the pattern in creation, evening and morning. That pattern has continued all through time. Nehemiah 13 and verse 19, we're told here, So it was at the gates of Jerusalem as it began to be dark before the Sabbath that I commanded the gates to be shut and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that no burdens would be brought in on the Sabbath day. So we have the timing from Genesis up until now that the Sabbath has been established by God. He created the time frame. He created when it's to be kept. And it's completely different than how man counts time. Completely different. So relating to the sermonette, right, we have to distinguish what the truth is. We have to guard the truth and be committed to implanting that nugget into our minds. It's from sunset to sunset. Man defines a day much, much differently. God established the Sabbath. Point number two that makes it different, or very special, is that the Sabbath was created holy. The Sabbath was created holy. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 2. Very, very basic points today, but I think they're important for us to remind ourselves of as we keep this special day. Genesis 2 and verse 3, the Sabbath was created holy. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Now this word sanctified is the Hebrew word kadesh. It's Q-A-D-A-S-H. It means to dedicate or to be hallowed. God created the seventh day dedicated to Him. It's that simple. He dedicated it to Him. Go with me back to Exodus chapter 31. In verse 14, God created the Sabbath holy. Exodus 31 and verse 14. It says here, "You shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall be surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done in 6 days." We know God's work ethic. He really put a lot of work into creation. Jesus Christ said, "I and my Father work." Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. Now the word holy here refers back to the word holy that we read about in Genesis. It means a sacred place or thing that is dedicated or hallowed. So we have the physical, right? God created it. That's the natural law. Now we have the spiritual law. It's made holy. God created it holy. This word holy, according to word study, indicates something that is consecrated or set aside for sacred use only. It also designates divine holiness. Now, we see here in verse 14 and 15, it talks about profaning the Sabbath day and you're to be put to death. Profane means to desecrate. Have you seen any graffiti around wherever you live? Take a show and a half. A few hands go up. You walk down the canals in Indianapolis, there's some beautiful murals along some of those bridges, under the bridges. And they've got, some of them have graffiti on them. It's terrible. All the time that was taken in to paint those and make them beautiful, and they take a spray can and just shh, whatever they want to do. Or you can see them on the billboards as you drive on 465, or maybe in your local park. It's just terrible. And it's a desecration of what is a public place. Well, this word profane means to desecrate, or to damage, or to deface. Because what does it do? It shows lack of respect. So in our mind, when God's created the Sabbath holy, we have to ask ourselves, are we respecting that holy time? Are we respecting what God has created as holy? Or are we putting graffiti up on the Sabbath day? When we don't observe or respect God's Sabbath by giving it honor, we profane it. And we pollute it. And we do this mentally. Well, I'll just check this website. Well, I've got a few minutes. I don't need to worry about spending time with God. Are we polluting the Sabbath day by doing some of those things and not giving the respect that is God desires? You know, it's only God who can make something holy. We're not going to turn there, but we can reference 1 Samuel 2. It says, "No one is holy like God." Only God could have made it holy. Only God can create it holy. And by resting on the seventh day, He put His divine presence in this time period. God did. Not man. God did. He created it holy when He established it. He set it apart. He dedicated it. He hallowed it. So we think about every seventh day since creation is or has been holy. Every seventh day has been holy. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 15 and verse 16. Our basic truth back here. Sometimes we maybe forget that it was God who established this time. Colossians 1 and verse 15, speaking of Jesus Christ, who was the Word, it says, "He," that's Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. So Jesus Christ, as the Word, created the Sabbath at the instruction of the Father. Let that sink in for a minute. That this time that we're here celebrating today was created by the Word. To me, that's pretty astounding. So that's why Jesus Christ is linked as being, and you know the phrase, Lord of the Sabbath. He made it on God's instruction. So it makes absolute sense that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He created through direction of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, as the Word. Sabbath was created holy. What makes the Sabbath special? Number three, the Sabbath was made for our good. The Sabbath was made for our good. Let's go back to Mark chapter 2 and in verse 27. The Sabbath was made for our good. Mark 2 and verse 27. These are the words of the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. He says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. And that's pretty plain, but let me read it to you from the Good News Bible. It says, the Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. Wow. God knew we needed it. I like that. That God said, you know what? I realize you're going to get busy. You're going to be productive. I've given you a creative mind. I've given you talents. So I'm going to make you and give you a day of rest. Wow. That's really cool. That the designer who made us, male and female, put us in the garden, told us to be fruitful and enjoy all those wonderful things that He has designed and given us as His children, says, I'm giving you a day to share with Me, to be united together as a family. I'm handing you this gift as the Sabbath. God created for our benefit. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. You know, mankind today thinks that, who cares? Why do we need the Sabbath? There's no benefit in it. That's not how God designed it. He made it for our good. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and in verse 12. The subheading of my Bible says, the essence of the law. Now Israel, and this was to the nation, but remember we're spiritual Israel as the church, what does the Lord God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and His statutes, which I command you today for your good. Now I realize I'm quoting Mr. McCready over in Dayton because he uses this a lot. But it's not my words. It's not his words. It's God's words. For your good. So do we appreciate this beautiful blessing of this day, of the Sabbath, when we have time where we don't have to worry about all life's craziness and frenzy, and we can pause and we can take time and extra prayer, and we can delve into God's Word, and we can spend time listening to it? Then New Revised Standard Version reads this way in verse 13. To keep the commandments of the Lord your God for your own well-being. What are the goods that come from the Sabbath? You can probably write them down. Well, the first one's rest, right? We get to sleep in a little longer. I hate getting up in the morning. Maybe you like it. I have a challenge with it. But I do it because it's a responsibility. We get to rest. Let's go back to Exodus 23, verse 12. I understand that new parents maybe don't get to rest as much, but those days will change very quickly. Exodus 23 and verse 12, what's it say here? 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and your son and your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. I don't have a servant. I don't think there's anybody in this room that has a servant. But rest and refreshed. Isn't that nice? That you can take a little extra time in the morning, maybe make a cup of tea, maybe open up the Bible and read a little bit as you're eating, enjoying breakfast. Maybe you come home and you take a nap after services. What a pleasant day. What we like to do is we come home and we make a campfire in the evenings and we talk about the week and we reconnect. And it's just time that we share as a family. It's wonderful. And God made it for our good to enjoy those things. This word rest here means to desist from exertion or to put down your instruments of work, according to Strong's. I liken it to maybe hanging up your hat as you come home. We don't wear a hat too much anymore, but maybe you hang your tools on hooks in the garage. I hang my weed whipper on a hook on a garage. You put them away. You desist from doing those things. And whatever exertion. And refreshed means to take a breath. Life is exhausting, is it not? You know, the appointments you have to keep. You have to go to three stores because one doesn't have one. All these things that we have to do. Bustle around town. Life is exhausting. And now we can take a breath on this day. On the Sabbath day. God rested. God didn't need to rest. He has infinite energy. And yet, He rested. To give us an example. The Life Application Study Bible says, we need rest. Without time out from the bustle, life loses meaning. Taking time is not easy. But God reminds us that without Sabbaths, we will forget the purpose of all of our activity. Remember, what's God doing? He's training. All life's activities are training. But we have to pause and remember, He's the one who's given us the focus. Let's continue with the Life Application Study Bible comments. It says, we lose the purpose for all of our activity. We lose the balance critical to a faithful life. Make sure your Sabbath provides both time of refreshment and remembrance of God. I want to bring in an article that I came across from the Wall Street Journal. This is from May, just 2.5 months ago. It's written by Sarab Amari from the Wall Street Journal. The article is entitled, What We've Lost in Rejecting the Sabbath. The share of Americans who don't identify with any religion continues to grow. Even many believers reject the concept of the Sabbath as a divinely ordained day of rest. Instead, we are encouraged to pursue lives of constant action and purpose. And we do. The Sabbath doesn't fit into the rhythm of our lives. It's an imposition. That's from the Wall Street Journal. That's where the mentality of our world is today. The Sabbath doesn't fit into the rhythm of our lives, really. God, who made life, doesn't fit into your rhythm? God's going to wake up mankind, and then they're going to realize the blessing and the gift of the Sabbath. The second good that comes is that we honor God. Let's go to Isaiah 58 and verse 13. We rest, we get refreshed, and we honor God. Because God made this day for our good. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. Are we implanting this beautiful gift that God has given? I know we struggle sometimes. There are times when we don't maybe appreciate it as often as we should. God knows those times. He helps us through them. Isaiah 58 and verse 13, we know this. I want to read this to you from the Contemporary English Version. Verse 13 and 14. First, you must start respecting the Sabbath as a joyful day of worship. You must stop doing or saying whatever you please on this special day. Then you will truly enjoy knowing the Lord. He will let you rule from the highest mountains and bless you with the land of your ancestor Jacob, the Lord has spoken. Remember, God established this day. He made it holy. And He gave it to us for our good. So why wouldn't we take time and appreciate the time we can share with Him? It shows proper respect. God created us. God created this day. He made everything we see. All the elements that go into whatever we make. Plastic bottles, iPhones, the chips that make the iPhones, all that God made. All of it. And so He designed a day that we can honor Him for what He's given. It's a unifying time that God desires to share with whom He's calling. We're unified as a spiritual family if we use it properly. So starting Friday evening, we think different. Right? Because it's God's time now. Not that I should maybe back up a little bit. We try every day, certainly to prioritize God. But on the Sabbath, especially, we prioritize God and His truth. You know, the blessing of the Sabbath is summarized for us back in Leviticus 23 and verse 3. I want to read this also from the Contemporary English Version. God made the Sabbath for our good. Leviticus 23 and verse 3 from the Contemporary English Version as well. You have 6 days when you can do your work. But the seventh day of each week is holy because it belongs to me. No matter where you live, you must rest on the Sabbath and come together for worship. This law will never change. I really like how that reads. It's a Contemporary English Version of Leviticus 23. It will never change. So, the seventh day, since the very first week, has always been the Sabbath. Always been. And it's been made for our good. What makes the Sabbath special? Number 4. The Sabbath identifies God and His people. The Sabbath identifies God and His people. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 31 and in verse 13. Exodus 31 and verse 13. The Sabbath identifies God and His people. Exodus 31 verse 13. It says here, speak to the children of Israel saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. God's referring not just to the weekly Sabbath, but to the annual Sabbaths. It is a sign between me, God, the family of God, the Father and Jesus Christ, and you, mankind. He's talking to the nation, but it applies to all of mankind, throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord, who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. So it identifies God, and it identifies His people, those He's chosen. All of Castleton isn't here today. All of Fishers, or whatever town you want to name, Kokomo, Anderson, isn't here today. The people of God are here today. All across the globe, they are assembled to worship God. It identifies Him as Creator. It identifies us as His begotten children. It's a two-way sign. It goes both directions. This word sign in the Strong's means a signal, such as a flag or a beacon. You have a flagpole in your house. I do. I fly it on the 4th of July and Memorial Day and Labor Day. Now, a few other times I put out a checkered flag. Hockey season, I fly my LA Kings flag. Those kind of things. It distinguishes our house, sometimes not in a good way. The Sabbath is a sign. It distinguishes us to God because we're submissive, right? We're willing to be here. Hopefully we're excited to be here. Hopefully we appreciate being here. It establishes, identifies us to God. It also identifies God to us. God's in this day. He's in the assembly where his people are. So it's a two-way sign. As creator, God rested. We should too. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. The Sabbath identifies God and his people. 1 Peter 2 verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. We had just read it there in Exodus that it was an identifying sign for Israel. It's an identifying sign for the spiritual Israel of God. A holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9. You are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation. God selected us. God chose us. That's pretty astounding. You're a chosen generation. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the nation of Israel, remember, was the physical type that God was using. He was going to make them an example for all the surrounding nations. He put them in a land that was filled with all kinds of sin. God was going to purge that land, put in Israel, so they could be an example. God's done the same for us, right? All of us had lots of junk on the inside. We still are trying to put that out. He puts his spirit in, calls us, and he places us in whatever community we are to be an example. An identifying individual that God can use as an example. The spiritual body of Christ. If Israel had obeyed God, they would have become a holy nation. But today, God is working in us to develop us into a holy nation that he will use to train in his kingdom, train others. The ecclesia, the called out ones, we keep God's Sabbath. Does that mean we're better? No, it doesn't. It means we're very thankful to know God's truth, very blessed to know God's truth. And it's God who works in us. God is forming us into a kingdom of priests that he will use to teach all nations when we're fully born into the God family. It's beautiful. And this day, the seventh day, pictures that. Can we appreciate this great gift? Can we appreciate that? Point number five. Relates a little bit to this. The Sabbath pictures God's coming kingdom. The Sabbath pictures God's coming kingdom. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4. You probably know these scriptures very well. Chapter 3 of Hebrews encourages us to continue keeping God's Sabbath. Relates it back to the nation of Israel. In chapter 4, Paul brings it to a really kind of a conclusion. Let's read verses 1 through 8 of chapter 4. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. So they understood the gospel. Now the gospel to them was they were entering the promised land. They didn't have quite all the same understanding that was going to take place in the future of Christ's return and all of that. To them, the rest and the promise was the promised land. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. So we see, again, as an example, that only with God can we go forward in faith. They didn't have that. They had the physical. They had God there, His presence through the fire and the cloud, God's presence with the tabernacle. God has given us the seed of the Spirit so that we can keep these things in a spiritual sense. Let's continue. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And so we have a physical rest on the Sabbath, right? We have a rest that comes because we have the gift of the Spirit. And so we're overcoming sin. It's a little bit of rest. We haven't fully attained it, but we have a little piece of the rest, right? We who believe do enter that rest, as he said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter my rest. So we're looking back as an example. We're looking forward as a daily continuance of what we're to do. Continuing, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, that is, God's plan was established. And he wasn't going to retract it. The plan of Jesus Christ returning and offering rest for all of mankind is still going forward. That's what's being discussed here. For he has spoken of a certain place of the seventh day in this way. God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. All these ideas are being tied together. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, looking forward, and to those to whom it was first preached did not enter it, looking backwards, because of disobedience, he again designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, it has been said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So we have a reminder. We have to be implanting the truth, implanting these great understandings that God has given. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, for if Joshua had given them a rest, or had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Let me share some comments from our booklet, Sunset to Sunset, God's Sabbath Day Rest. This is from page 49. The book of Hebrews cleverly weaves together three themes of rest. The rest promised to Israel from enemies, the physical rest of the weekly Sabbath, and the spiritual rest through Christ. Let me read those again. The rest promised to Israel from the enemies, the physical rest of the weekly Sabbath, and the spiritual rest through Christ. The Sabbath retains its old covenant meanings that identify God's specially sanctified people and points them back to God as creator. Added to that is the new covenant meaning of entering into another rest through Jesus Christ, fulfilled in type by the rest given to Israel during Joshua's time. They came in, they had a plentiful land, right? The land flowing with milk and honey. Today we relate that to what? The kingdom of God. Right? We look forward to the time we're going to celebrate the Fall Holy Days in a couple weeks, which pictures the kingdom of God. The Sabbath, this day, pictures the kingdom of God. So each week, we get to celebrate God's kingdom. Do you like that? I like that. Every week, we're reminded there's a better time that's coming. Jesus Christ is going to bring God's truth. Every week, we get to celebrate. That's wonderful. We can't forget that. Continuing from the booklet, the Sabbath, the spiritual rest begins now in this life and reaches its consummation in the resurrection to eternal life at the return of Christ. His return also signals the beginning of the millennial rest prophesied in the Old Testament. Genesis 3, right? He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. That time of rest was promised all the way back at the Garden of Eden. When Jesus Christ would come and offer the plan of God's fulfillment. That's beautiful. Go with me to verse 9 here in Hebrews chapter 4. I want to read this from the contemporary English version as well. Hebrews 4, verse 9 and 10. God has promised us a Sabbath when we will rest, even though it has not yet come. On that day, God's people will rest from their work just as God rested from His work. What is your work today? It's overcoming sin. That's our work. That's the work God has called us to. When Jesus Christ comes and we're transformed from our lowly bodies into the spiritual body, we won't have to worry about sin. We'll be transformed. The mind of God will be fully in our mind. His Spirit will fully transform us. And there will be rest. And that's pictured in this day. The Sabbath. It's pictured in this day. As divine members of the family of God, we won't sin. Man, I look forward to that day. I don't have to worry about making a mistake or offending someone or having a bad attitude or getting angry. God's going to wipe all that out when He fills your mind with His Spirit. That's a rest. Because we won't have to overcome the weaknesses of the flesh. That's the rest because we're finally freed from the struggles of the sin that we have. That's why this day pictures the kingdom and the rest that God is going to give. We'll have the fullness of mind and character of God forever. Once God gives that gift of the Holy Spirit and eternal life, He's not going to retract that. We'll be in God's family forever. And this day, the Sabbath, pictures that time. And each week, we have a beautiful opportunity to be reminded of that. When sunset comes, the kingdom of God is pictured in this day. Beautiful day that God has given. What a gift that God has given to us. Soon, the entire earth will realize that they too need this gift. Just as much as I hope we appreciate and realize that today. God has established the Sabbath day at creation as holy. He made it for us and our good. It identifies Him as Creator and reminds us that we are His children. And it's our weekly reminder of His coming kingdom. Let's go back to James chapter 1 and in verse 17. James is a very practical book, as we also heard about in the sermonette, James 1:17. James tells us here, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Appreciate the gift of God's Sabbath.